Isn't it amazing how the same mouth that used to take his name in vain now gives him glory? Isn't it amazing that the same mouth that used to be wrapped around a crack pipe now sings his praise? Isn't it amazing from the same lips that used to suck on the end of a doobie? Come on, talk to me tonight. Now tells about his love and his salvation. Only God could do that in a man's life. Woohoo! I'm sorry, I get excited. Because I've been out there, man. I felt the serpent's bite. I'm going to get Brother Todd to sing that last verse again. I'm going to mind God tonight. I am. I'm just going to mind God, do what he told me to do. Jason Schiff, won't you come right here? I want as many of our men at will gather around this young preacher boy. Get your hands on him somewhere. Pray God touch him. Is that all right with you, Jake? Y'all come on. I want you to pray for him tonight. You say, why are you doing that? Holy Spirit said to. Y'all pray for him. Sing, Bro Todd. What's good?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Go ahead, Miss Shelley. Go ahead, Brother Dave. Amen, brother. Me too. Yeah. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, y'all pray for Sister Edwina. She's got her hands full. And I appreciate Brother David Connell. He ain't what he ought to be, but thank God he ain't what he used to be. Amen. I'm serious. I've watched the Lord do a work in his life. Praise God for it. Go ahead, Miss Tina. God bless your heart. I don't know if you heard her or not. You probably didn't. She said 28 years ago she buried her dad. She said, I didn't have the luxury of calling him today. You better not take for granted what God's given. My real dad and I have had our differences. But I went and seen him today. Told him I loved him. Why? I may not have him next year. That way, when I stand in front of his coffin, I won't have no regrets. I won't have to say, well, I wish I had him. Amen. Just be able to say, thank God it did. Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. I hope you don't think things are out of order tonight. I believe it's doing or going just the direction God would have it to. Amen. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, have the men pray for Jason. All right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Even the Lord asked His disciples to pray with Him. Yeah. Every now and then it does us good just to have the brethren to fellowship with us, not just in shaking hands, but to fellowship together in prayer. Right. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 13. I'm going to look tonight. I'm going to preach to the men again tonight. I don't think we do quite enough of that. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to say it in the best way I know how. But we're living in a society of thin-skinned people. Amen. Offended at everything in the world. Sister Stacy came during fellowship and said that Pepsi Cola, by the way, I hate Pepsi anyway. Pepsi Cola is coming out with a patriotic Pepsi can for the 4th of July. And it's going to have the Pledge of Allegiance on it. And to keep from offending anybody, Pepsi is removing one nation under God. That's their right. But it's also my right not to buy their stinking product. If they're worried about offending somebody, too late, they have offended me. Amen. Seems like everywhere you go, you got to be careful now what you say. Why? Because we're in a generation of sissies. Amen. I carried Levi and Cora, my son and daughter-in-law, a week before last. I was preaching in Cartersville. And we were coming home. We came through the middle of the town of Cartersville, and I told Levi, I said, I want to show you something if I can find it. And we started rambling around on the back seat, back streets in the middle of the night, and I finally found what I was looking for. And I carried Levi by and showed him the home place and the house that belonged to Sam P. Jones, the old circuit-riding Methodist preacher back in the early 1900s. I've got a book at home called The Life and Sayings of Sam P. Jones. He was a Methodist preacher. If he were to preach in the Methodist church today, they'd kill him. The hardest, strictest independent Baptist church couldn't take him. He said, I would rather be called a drunken sot than a nice preacher. Amen. I'm telling you, there is a difference in preaching today and what it was 100 years ago. And that's because everybody has become so sensitive to every little thing. I preached one Sunday, and I'm going to get to the sermon in a minute, but I preached one Sunday morning back several years ago, and I said something about murdering babies. That's what abortion is. Talk to me. Somebody came to me after church and said, I'm sure you weren't aware of it, but Sister so-and-so has had an abortion. And I noticed she was squalling through the whole service. That night I came back and I went to her. I said, if I offended you this morning, I apologize. Not for the truth I preached, but if I hurt you, I apologize. She looked me dead in my God-given eyeballs and she said, don't you ever say that again. Yeah. Amen,
She said, if somebody had a preached to me as a kid what you preached to me this morning, you might have saved me the grief of what I battled with while you preached this morning. I'm not like Sam Jones. I don't want to be a mean preacher. But I don't want to have to tiptoe around and be afraid of using verses in the Bible that God has given us for direction for our life. Afraid that it might offend you. Joel Osteen and that crowd won't use the word sin. Sissies. How are we ever going to come to the truth if nobody has the guts to preach it? Jesus carried that thing a little bit farther. He didn't just say you're sinners. He looked at that religious crowd and said, you're a generation of vipers. Man, he called them snakes. Amen. I'm just saying tonight, we need to raise up a generation of young men with hide like a rhinoceros. Amen. Everything in the Bible ain't sweet. Oh, there's enough of it that is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I love it. John chapter number 14, I love it. So Psalms chapter number 23, sweetest words ever spoken by mortal men. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's kind of the nanner pudding of the Bible. The Oreo blizzards of the Bible. Then we've got the broccoli and the black-eyed peas. We got, amen. We got to have it all. In Genesis chapter number 13, we've got, I guess you could say, a tale of two fathers. We've got the story of Abraham and Lot. Father Abraham. You know the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. We used to sing that when we was kids. Father Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. God greatly smiled on this man. This man was a man of great faith. Genesis chapter number 13, God has directed him out of the place that he is, and he's sending him somewhere else, and he takes along his nephew Lot. According to the Bible, they're both saved men. They're both men of faith. When we get to heaven, I believe Lot will be there. Somebody talk to me. But what a contrast in their lives. It always amazes me that Lot and Abraham were in the same place, serving the same God, but yet Abraham is known as one of the great patriarchs. If we ask what Abraham was remembered for, we would say the father of a nation. Somebody who found favor with God. But if we ask what Lot was remembered for, when I think of Lot, I think about a man committing incest with his daughters. That's what I think about. When I think of Lot, I think about a man looking at his wife who has been turned into a pillar of salt. When I think about Lot, I don't think about his faith, yet I know it was there. I don't think about his prayer life, which I'm sure there was a time. I think about the homosexuals who beat on his door and wanted him to send those angels out to him. What a difference. Here we sit together in the same place.
We hear the same songs. We sing the same songs. We hear the same Bible preached week in and week out. But the fact is, you take these young boys sitting on the front row, chances are that one of them will go one way and one the other. What's the difference? It's what they choose to do. God has given me and God has given you a will.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I had the men come and pray for Jason when Jason was a boy. I'm talking about a punk, snot-nosed kid. God all over him. I believe the Lord wanted him to preach back then. But Jason had a will.
Amen.
God didn't make him do nothing.
Right.
And he ain't going to make you do nothing.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
Jason said, I enjoy singing in the youth choir and I enjoy going to church, but I want to smoke my weed. I want to party. I want to do my thing. And God said, help yourself. I'm glad one day he made another decision.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. He bowed in my driveway and cried like a baby on my shoulder and said, I want to come back to God. I just don't know the way. Thank God he was right where he left it. He never moved. Hallelujah. He had been there all along. Ain't you glad we serve a merciful Father like that? Somebody ought to have church with me tonight. So you picking on Jason. Yeah, but you can relate. I ain't preaching to the First Baptist crowd tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching to people who would be just as comfortable down at Cowboys tonight. I know what I'm preaching to. By the way, I'd rather have you than a bunch of Pharisees.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I want to look at these two fathers tonight. Let's find out, dads, men, why these guys' lives went in totally different directions. Genesis chapter 13. Y'all all right tonight?
Yes, sir.
Let's start reading. There's a whole lot to read here, but I think I'll just look at verse number 8, verse number 7, verse number 6. Go to verse number 1. Bless God, we'll just read this thing. The Bible said, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. The Bible said in verse number 6, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Stop right there. If we get to where we get so much money that we can't get along, in God's dear name, let's send it to a missionary. Oh, I can make spiritual application right here to church after church after church after church that is split over a building fund. I know churches tonight that are sitting on $400,000 and $500,000 in the bank and ain't doing squat to keep people out of hell.
Amen.
Y'all okay?
You're right.
If we ain't got it, we ain't gonna fight over it.
Yeah.
That's right. We ain't got it. Brother Freddie said one day, what if we've been praying for a big check? And Brother Freddie said, what if the big check came? What would you do? What is your plan? I pay everything this place off. We wouldn't owe nobody a dime. If there's any left, we're getting rid of it. Y'all okay? Dr. Harold Seitler up in South Carolina in the Greenville area run a Bible school for years. He's in heaven now. Man, what a preacher. Every month he would get with his finance guy and he'd say, what's the balance? And they'd tell him $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $8,000, whatever. He'd say, send it all to the missionaries. I want our balance to be zero at the end of every month. That's living by faith, brother. That ain't got nothing to do with the message. But I just saw where their substance caused them trouble. Amen? You see, the more you got, the more you think of yourself. You living in a box under a bridge on I-20, you ain't got no pride. Hallelujah. I'm not saying I want us living in boxes. Thank God for our homes. But let's don't measure ourselves by what we possess. There's some very, very wicked people live on Tuxedo Drive in Atlanta around the governor's mansion. We couldn't afford a shovel full of dirt out of the yard. That don't make them good people. Amen. Whoo, I don't know what that was for. It just come out. Verse number 7, the Bible said there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. The Bible said, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot, now watch this next word. What is it? Then Lot what?
Chose
him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Tonight I want to look at several things that will make a difference in where your life winds up. Number one, where are you looking? Where are you looking? Abraham said, take your pick. And Lot began to look at the world. Lot began to look at the things of the world and everything that the world had to offer. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. Everything the world's got cannot compare to the will of God for your life. This world's got some pretty flashy stuff. But I'd rather live in a tent on a mission field in Africa in the will of God. And to live in the governor's mansion out of the will of God. Lot's first problem was where he was looking. If you're not careful, men, listen to me. You'll get down on the job and you'll start hearing all those men talk about their weekend and how they partied, how they had a good time, and something inside you says, man, I wish I could do that. They'll paint you a pretty picture.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Television has taught us that you pop the top on a Budweiser and six blondes with legs that long show up in a Ferrari. Come on. They show you the beautiful mountains and catching trout that long, and it don't get no better than this. I got news for you. It gets way, way better than that. Because you see, I understand. I looked at the glitter of the world. I looked at the garbage that it had to offer. I saw the glitz and I saw the glamour. But bless God, I've seen the other end. Yes, sir. It don't end with blondes in a Ferrari.
That's right, preacher.
Amen, bro. It ends with a toilet seat wrapped around your head. Can I get a witness? We having fun now. It ends in broken hope. It ends in destroyed lives. It ends in child support. It ends in alimony. I'm telling you tonight, get your eyes off the world. TV make anything look good. TV make Liz Taylor look good. Be amazed what they can do with a camera. You're looking in the wrong place. The difference between these two men were where they were looking. You know what Lot is saying as he looks toward the plain of Sodom? Me, 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 me. If we move down there, why, we could have this and we could have that. And boy, if we move down there, boy, it'd change our life. It sure did. We need to be careful. The difference with Abraham and Lot when it came time to part ways, Abraham was content living in Canaan. Abraham was content with where God wanted him to be. And Lot was covetous of what the world had to offer. You know what our problem is? We just want more, 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 more. Somebody said, man, if I had a brand new car, I'd be happy. You lying. About the time that smell wore off, you'd be wanting another. Am I right about it? Y'all don't dry up on me now. I'm telling you the truth. We better learn to be content with the will of God for our life. I told y'all about that church down in Florida, Orlando. Y'all know how crazy I am about fishing. Surrounded by water everywhere you look. You can drive 10 minutes in any direction, have a bass boat in the water and bass jumping in the boat. You ain't got to have no pole. It's almost that good. I'm serious. They called me up. Church got 1,600 members, 30-piece orchestra. I'm talking about all that. Begging me to be their pastor. You know what I found out? I'm content. You can have them stinking fish. You can have them lakes. You can have your orchestra. You can have all that fine stuff. You can have that big salary. You can have that big car allowance. You can have it all. Why? Because I'm right smack dab in the middle of where God wants me to be. How about you, bud? You happy where you at? I don't think Lot prayed about it. I believe he just saw what all it had to offer. But Abraham looked where God told him to look. Lot looked where Lot wanted to look. Looking to get you. Looking to get you. You know every sin in your life starts with your eyeballs? Every sin in your life starts with your eyeballs. No man ever had an adulterous affair that he didn't start gawking first. I used to work with a man. We had a big old plumbing truck, and it set up higher than about everything else on the road. He had nearly wrecked, nearly blow that truck up to get beside a woman on the expressway so he could look down her window and look at her leg. He said, "Lean over here, lean over here." I said, "Man, I don't see that with somebody's mama." A woman got a baby at home, got a husband with a shotgun. Man, quit that. Yeah. Wasn't long his wife caught him cheating on him. Where did it start? Looking somewhere he didn't have no business. Amen. I'm telling you, my wife's a flat-out hottie, but you ain't got no business looking at her. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I ain't got no business staring at yours. Yeah, there's just certain places we ought not to be looking. Amen. Yeah. We ought not to be looking to the things of the world. It'll bite you every single time. When Joshua led the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, they crossed Jordan. Their very first conquest was the city of Jericho. God gave them specific instruction. Said, destroy it all. Don't take nothing for yourself. Amen. There's a man over there by the name of Achan. I didn't think it was a big deal myself. I really didn't. They done killed all them people. They wasn't going to be needing it. Achan, here's all he got. Brother Freddie, he got a garment. The Bible said it was a goodly Babylonian garment. Nice suit. Just laying there. I mean, that man dead. He ain't going to wear it no more. A little gold and a little silver. And he went and hid it under his tent. You ever ask yourself why he hid it? If everything was copacetic with it, man, he'd have been strutting in it. He'd have been wearing that suit downtown saying, man, check out the thread. Check out what I got. He'd have been flashing that money, son. But he knew God said no. When you got to hide it, you ought not have it. Amen. Long story short, he got called on the carpet. And Joshua said, man, what have you done? He said, well, I looked. I got to looking at that garment. I got looking at them shekels of gold and them shekels of silver. He said, I looked and I looked and I looked, but that look turned into coveting. I didn't want it till I stared at it a while. Now look, I understand, I'm not a fool. There's things you just can't help seeing. But you can turn your head. You can turn your head and look the other way, but he didn't. He looked at it till he wanted it so bad he couldn't stand it. He looked at it to the point that he was willing to do wrong to have it. Is anybody in this building with me? Have you ever done that? Hey, it ain't got to be something wicked. It could be a vehicle you can't afford. My little brother told me about a man on Buchanan Highway. Ain't 5 miles from my house. Up under a barn in his backyard. This dude used to be a professional wrestler. Is that right? Up under a barn in his backyard is a 1969 convertible. I said convertible. I said convertible, Camaro. And John's like, let's go check it out. And I'm like, I know better. Why? Because I can't look at stuff like it. I just can't. It does something to me. The spirit of that car comes out of it and comes in me and it's, woo, got to have it, amen. Looking gets you in a mess. Yes, sir. Amen. Looking will put you in bankruptcy. Yes, amen. Looking will cost your children their grocery money. Miss Cindy comes strutting in that yellow Camaro. Me standing there going, oh no. I drove it around the parking lot the other night. Bad decision. Bad. Whew. Me and John was going to Louisiana, and we passed a silver one, an SAS, brand new, coming the other way. John looked over, I had geo bump popped up on my arm. You say, you're crazy. Well, at least it ain't women doing that to me, thank God. My wife said, the only woman that's ever going to worry me is the one come in wearing chrome. I know we in trouble. Amen. Lot got to looking. And it ain't long after you looking, you leaning. Amen. It ain't long after you start looking, you go to leaning. Come here, Michael, and help me out. You ain't scared, are you? Are you tough?
Not many.
Can you take a little? You think? Let me feel.
Knock him out.
No. Thank you, bro. I want you to lean that way as far as you can without falling. Now let's say over here is the will of God. Over there is the world. Don't fall. Don't fall. Now I want to show you something. He's already leaning that way. Do you know all it's going to take? Just a nudge. Just a nudge. Why? Because he's already got to looking at the things of the world. He's already listening to its music. He's already gawking and lusting after its parties. He's already lusting after its good times. He's leaning that way. So old smutty face comes by and just gives him a little nudge and knocks him on in. Somebody said, y'all fanatical and y'all a cult. We ain't no cult. Unless this is strychnine in here. We ain't waiting to catch no comet somewhere. Yeah. We just preaching what that crowd that calls us a cult preached 50 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Now I want to show you something. Lean toward the will of God. Far as you can. Lean again.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
This is the direction he's leaning.
Let
me tell you where you're going to fall. You're going to fall the direction you're leaning every time. Thank you, Michael. You start smooching around with the world and you're going to fall into the world. Hey, but if you'll just be content and smooch around with God, every time you fall, you're going to fall into the arms of the Savior. Somebody say hallelujah. If I'm going to fall, I want to fall where my Father can catch me. That's exciting right there. That is good preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Back up what I'm talking about because I've leaned both ways. Lean on me. I want to lean on Him. I don't know about you, but I want to lean in such a way that when I fall, I just fall on Jesus. And every time I begin to fall, He says, I got you right here, son. And the devil can nudge and nudge and nudge and nudge, but I'm already leaning in the right direction. And the only way I'm going to lean in that direction, I got to look in that direction. I can't lean on Jesus. Have my eyes in the world. Amen. Now bless God, don't run out here and say, Brother Eddie said it's sin to have a Camaro. Sister Cindy, I thank God every day He lets you get one of them and I can look at it. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with that. There's something wrong with it when you ain't supposed to have it. Amen. And I did not say I ain't supposed to have one. So if you was thinking about, you know, hooking me up. Amen. Hey, you go right ahead. I got one about that big in my office. I keep pouring water on it. There ain't nothing happening. Hey, amen. I thought about planting in the ground, see if it'd grow one. Ask yourself a question tonight. Where are you? Where are you looking? Where are you leaning? I can't get off this. There's a man in the New Testament by the name of Eutychus. Anybody ever remember reading about Eutychus? That's a weird name, ain't it? Paul was a preacher. Was it Paul preaching? Yes, Paul was a preaching and the boy fell out the window. That's why they named him Eutychus. You fell out the window, Eutychus too. Amen. Somebody said, why did he fall out the window? Because there's more of him out than there was in. And that's where some of you are tonight. You used to be on fire for God. You used to be excited about the things of God. The devil couldn't shake you. Your family couldn't shake you. Your friends couldn't influence you. But you got to hanging out the window a little bit too far. If you don't get your eyes turned and your leaning turned pretty quick, you're going out. You're going to be a preaching illustration. That's the last thing in the world I want to be. Amen. Amen. Where are you looking? Number two, where are you living? Where are you living? Lot lived in the city of Sodom, in the middle, smack dab in the middle of wickedness. Genesis chapter 19. Verse number one. The Bible said there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate. Now that's saying something right there. Not only is he living there, he's participating there. He's taking part in their society, their government, if you will. He has a place of position as he sits at the gate. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Where are you living? Lot was living in the land of Sodom, in the middle of wickedness. Abraham was living in the land God promised him. Villa Rica ain't the greatest place in the world, but it's where God told me to be. Suits me fine. I'm going to be real careful here what I say, because I wouldn't throw rocks at anybody who's trying to do something for God. But I have preacher friends, Brother Freddie, that I worry about. They're some of the most faithful street preachers I know. But the only places they want to go is to the most wickedest places around. I worry why they're drawn that way. The Bible says something about casting your pearls before swine. One preacher told me, God is my witness, he was bragging about how he went into a porno shop to witness to the people in there. Something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. Our church is nothing more than a reflection of where we live as individuals. Yes, sir. Don't expect to come in here and get a blessing out of Amazing Grace if you live with Garth Brooks all week long.
Yes,
amen. That's right. We all right tonight?
Yes, sir.
How you going to come in here enjoying singing about heaven if you've been listening to Hank Jr. sing If Heaven Ain't a Lot Like Dixie? I don't want to go. What a foolish statement. A moron wouldn't say that. It's 98 degrees out there. Pray to God it ain't nothing like this place. Got skeeters in my backyard that big. Heaven ain't a lot like Dixie. I don't want to go. That's why I want to go.
Yeah.
It's better than this. Amen?
Yes. Amen?
You see what I'm saying? We are a reflection of where we live day in and day out. I can tell by the countenance on your face when I preach something like this. Oh, I come in here camp meeting style. And y'all be shouting the roof off.
Yeah.
But I get like this and you get uneasy. You balancing your checkbook. You looking at your watch. You thinking about where you want to go to eat. If you wasn't living in a way that you ought not to, you'd be behind me 100%. We out there tonight?
Amen.
Where are you living? I'm not talking about your geographical location, so to speak. Where are you living in your heart? I remember the story of the lady who took her son to the doctor, 3-4-year-old little boy, bouncing off the walls. I mean, just wild as a buck rabbit. She told him over and over, "You sit down and hush. You sit down and hush." Finally, she grabbed him by the arms and slammed him down in the chair. She said, "If you move, I'll kill you." He said, "I wouldn't talk to my kids like that." Yeah, that's why they're bouncing off the walls. She said, "If you move, I'll kill you." Little boy sat there real quiet for a few minutes. He looked over his mama. He said, "I'm sitting still on the inside, outside, but inside I'm jumping up and down." I thought, how true that is. Yeah. Oh, we got it churchy on the outside. Yeah. I know my name is there, and hallelujah, and glory to God. But on the inside, we're living somewhere else. Yeah. Where are you looking tonight? It'll make a difference on where you wind up. I've told you this story, but I'm going to tell you again. My great-grandfather, Granny Faye's, Aunt Lily's daddy, Roy Fuller, he was my hero. Had a hand about half as wide as that pulpit. I'm talking about a big man. Had a Charlet bull pin me on by my chest and was pushing his head about through me. And I watched my granddad, that's how big he was, took his fist, hit that bull in the head, and it hit its knees. I said, golly. I'll never forget that. But I got up to be about 89 years old. I loved to drive the tractor. Why? Because if you're on the tractor, that means you ain't picking up rocks. Amen? Now, I remember one spring, Papa taught me how to plow. I'm sitting in his lap, and I'm driving that little old Ford 8N tractor, and I'm going down the road. Boy, we got to the end of the thing, and Papa said, "Turn around, boy, and look what you did." I thought he was bragging. My road looked like a snake. And Papa told me something that day. He said, "Son, you got to fix your eyes on where you're going, not so much on where you're at." That tractor had a gas cap on the front of it, and I was watching that gas cap, thinking I'm keeping everything straight. Papa said, "No, you got to fix your place straight across out there on the other side of that field, and you drive straight to that." Yeah. Boy, Brother Freddie, I tried that. I'm talking about a road, buddy. You know what our problem is? We ain't looking where we're going. Amen. I can't get off this thing. We're looking at the world, but planning a trip to heaven. Hey, man, if we're on our way to heaven, we ought to get our eyes fixed on it. And we ought to be looking at Jesus instead of this worldly crowd. Amen. And we may just make our destination without all them. Amen. Where are you looking tonight? Where are you living tonight? I don't care what you're doing on the outward part. Yeah, listen now carefully. Y'all sitting in the pew with some sorry folks tonight. You sitting in the pew in the building with people who've sinned this week. You sit, yeah, wicked. You sitting in the building tonight with people with lust in their heart. How do you know, preacher? I know people. I'm one of them myself. I know people. I ain't talking about how you look at church. I'm talking about on the inside, where are you living tonight? Are you content just to be with God and where the blessings of God are? Are you? Where are you looking? Where are you living? Number three, where are you leading? Where are you leading? Somebody, I'm not going to re-preach this morning's message, but somebody's following you. Yes, sir. Lot was a saved man. My brother Freddie, you and brother Charles, brother Jay, y'all help me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll back up. It don't never say nothing about his daughters whether or not they're saved, does it? Does it? Or his wife? Talks about Lot being saved. Don't say nothing about his family.
Amen.
What happened? Lot's looking and Lot's living affected Lot's leading. Even though Lot knew God, chances are his daughters did not. Even though Lot knew the Lord, chances are his wife did not. And instead of leading them to God, he led them away from God. And chances are they're burning in hell tonight because of the direction that he led. What a contrast. What a contrast. When you compare the life of Lot and his children with Abraham and his children, my goodness, what a difference. My goodness, what a difference. More pictures of Christ in the life of Isaac, Abraham's son, than anybody else in the Bible. Arthur Pink said there are at least 101 prolific types of Christ in the life of Isaac. I don't know if there's 101 or not, but there's a bunch. You can just get there in the life of Isaac and preach on the Lord for 6 months straight. You can't say nothing about the Lord in the life of Lot's children. What's the difference? Where Daddy led them. Abraham said, this away, kids. Lot said, this away. This is the way for our family. It wasn't the way for his family. Where are you leading? When it was time to leave Sodom at God's command, Lot could not even lead his own family the way he should have been able to do. They didn't want to go with him. You know why? They didn't trust that sucker. Does your family trust your leadership? If you went to your wife and said, God said, is she going to go, since when have you heard God? Something to ponder. Oh, so now you're Mr. Spiritual. Last week it was party time. Now you tell me God's talking to you?
Amen.
I know that's a hard pill to swallow. But I'm telling you, we need to be careful where we're leading our family. Amen. Amen. I believe in Genesis 19, when Lot's wife turned around and God turned her into a pillar of salt, I believe with all my heart, if you don't believe it, it's okay. We don't have to split hairs over it. But I believe Lot's going to give an account for that. Why? Because he took her there. Do you know, now men, listen to me carefully. Ladies, please don't take offense. Please don't take offense. When you lead in the wrong direction, those who are following you usually go further than you do. Now ladies, please. We've got some strong ladies in our church. But the Bible does say she's the weaker vessel. A lot of times we can go to a certain point and there's a line that we won't cross. But our children don't know where that line's at. And our wives don't know where that line's at. Where are you leading? Where are you leading? You know where I want to lead that boy to? I want to lead him to do greater things than I ever thought about. I'm talking about for God. I don't care if he ever makes $1 million. I'll pick up Coca-Cola cans. I'll help him buy groceries if I have to. Thirty years from now, I want him to still be going in the direction Daddy taught him. This young'un right here is a Yankee. Whether he wants to admit it or not, he's from New York. Sure enough. Moved to Virginia. Finally wound up blessed of God and living in Georgia. And married a Puerto Rican. A good one.
Amen.
This young'un took up with me when he was what, 10? 11 years old. He was my shadow. If I backed up, I stepped on him. I didn't even have to ask what that was. Oh, it's Caleb. Up in New York, you know what they used to call him? Mini-me. Everywhere we was at, if we was together, people say, oh, I saw your son. I said, no, my son's in Georgia. Oh, no, I saw him. Whether I like it or not, I didn't choose that. But I've been an influence in his life. The only reason he lives in the state of Georgia is because of me. And I don't say that braggingly. But what I'm saying is 30 years from now, I want him to still be going in the direction that I've tried to show him.
Amen. Yes.
Now the world's going to show him everything else under the sun. We need to stop sometime and take an account of where we're leading our children. Andrew sat up here the other Sunday night. He's been kind of quiet tonight. Y'all didn't get on to him, did you? I'll vote you out of his shirt. He sat up here the other night and tried to shout me down while I was preaching. I laid in the bed, boy. I looked toward heaven. I said, God, thank you for that little boy. Don't ever let him lose that.
Amen.
Help me lead him in the way he should go.
Yes,
sir. The Bible said train up a child in the way he should go. You know what that is? That's leadership.
Yeah.
Whether your wife wants to admit it or not, sir, she needs leadership.
Yes. Amen.
You know what? Most women will follow a godly man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I didn't say most women will follow a hypocrite. I didn't say most women will follow a tyrant.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
I didn't say most women will follow a man who's one way on Sunday and totally different on Monday.
Amen.
But a saved woman, she'll usually follow a godly man.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Let's just check ourselves tonight. Which way are we going?
Yeah. Amen, Tom.
Which way are we going? Me and John left Louisiana early Wednesday morning before daylight. Before we went to bed that night, I sat down with the man of the house and I said, write me the directions for the quickest way to I-20. Why? Because I wanted to get home the best way possible. God's given me some directions to get my family home the best way possible. Amen. Which way are we leading tonight? Which way are we looking? Which way are we leaning? Which way are we living tonight? Lastly, and I'm done. Do you ever ask yourself what your legacy will be? Not only where am I looking, where am I living, where am I leading, but what is my legacy? You know what your legacy is? That's what you're remembered for. That's what you're remembered for. Me and Levi stopped in front of Sam Jones's house in Cartersville. And I don't know if y'all know it or not, but that dude lived in a mansion by today's standards. Before he was a preacher, he was a drunk, but he was a lawyer in Cartersville, Georgia. I guess that's where he made most of the money. I don't know. But y'all know those historical markers? There's one in the front yard. I've read it word for word. And even society and the government, more than remembering him for a drunk attorney, remember him as a blazing evangelist. Carried the gospel across the country. How many of you have ever seen the Ryman Auditorium? The Grand Ole Opry. You ever notice that thing's got stained glass windows? Don't have chairs, it has pews. It looks like a church. You know why? Sam Jones preached a revival meeting under a brush arbor in Nashville, Tennessee. The city saw great revival. A railroad tycoon by the name of Ryman got saved. By the way, that's some of Alan Ryman's kinfolk, friend of ours. The railroad tycoon's wife, Mrs. Ryman, told her husband, before Brother Jones comes back to town to preach, let's build him a building to preach in. That's what it was built for. Amen. Wow, what a legacy, man. Nobody remembers Billy Sunday. When I say Billy Sunday, you don't think about a drunk baseball player. We think about a great evangelist. That's his legacy. Lot and Abraham both left a legacy behind. Totally opposite one from the other. Lot's legacy, now watch this, this is about as gross a thing, and I'm going to be careful right here. But Lot's legacy was two nations. Birthed by two children. By his own daughter. That's pretty sick, isn't it? That's a long way from being in the will of God and making sacrifices unto God with Uncle Abraham. But now he's in a cave sleeping with his own children. That's what he's remembered for. His grandchildren were also his children. That's sick, ain't it? That's what he's remembered for. But yet Abraham, his legacy was a son who respected his father and followed God. I don't know, have no idea how long the Lord will tarry, but I have my first grandson, a second on the way. He's going to bear my last name. His name will be Wyatt. I don't know what those children will become. But I pray with all my heart that when I'm dead and in the grave, them babies will be serving God. Amen. When they roll your body, Dad, in the funeral home, and those folks come by, especially your children, and look in your cold, dead face, what will they remember? Will they remember the times you prayed? Will they remember the times you told them about the Bible? Will they remember the times they saw you worship God? Or will all they remember is how you screamed and yelled at your wife? How you were one thing on Sunday and something totally different on Monday? Oh, they'll love you no matter which way you lead them because you're dad. But what will they remember?
Two dads, Brother Robbie, had the same opportunity. Lot's problem was what Lot chose.
Yes.
You say it's not fair. God would have killed him. Did you hear what I said? God would have killed him had it not been for Abraham. Abraham begged God, would you spare the city if these 50 righteous? He brought that thing on down. I think he started at 100, didn't he? 50. And he brought that thing down to 40 and 30 and 10 to 5.
Yes, sir.
Lot begged God for, Abraham begged God for Lot's soul. It's the only reason he wasn't destroyed with that place. It wasn't because Lot had no pull with God. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Sister Janice, if you would you come and just play for us tonight? I don't know how to give the invitation. You said, preacher, sure has been rough preaching these last couple of weeks. Maybe it's overdue. Maybe the Lord let us be real sweet and juicy on Wednesday night. Maybe it'll get sweet again if we'll start looking in the right direction. We'll start leaning in the right direction. We'll start living in the right direction. We'll start leading in the right direction. If you got a verse, sis, on your heart, just sing. God dealt with your heart tonight. You come. Just come. Maybe you'll just come and say, God, help me with my looking. Help me to keep my eyes from wandering, God. Off of what you got for my life. God, help me to keep from leaning in the wrong direction. God, help me to lead my wife and my children in the way you'd have us to go. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with asking for some help. You know what David said? The sweet psalmist of Israel? Help, Lord! I need help. Need help. I don't know about you, but I need help with this thing. Let's just mind God. Go ahead and sing a verse, sis.